Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We've been looking at errors of Mormonism, and you know, the more the contemporary movement takes hold in our land, and really is across the world, the less God's people are going to know doctrine. Right now, there's this great downplaying of Bible doctrine. And so the more we go on, the cults are going to know more about their false beliefs than professing Christians are about the true faith. And so we need to know what we believe, and we need to know how to refute these cults. Isaiah 43, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You promised to preserve it pure as the purest silver for every generation. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to study it. I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring these verses to our minds, that we might be able to point these people involved in these cults to you, to the truth. Have your way now in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we read these verses here in Isaiah 43, I'd like to point out another error of Mormonism, and I believe it's error number 19. Mormon doctrine says that God the Father was once like us and then worked his way up to being classified, quote, with the gods, with the beings who create, unquote. And that would mean that there's more than one God. Remember what we said? Mormons say that the highest possible relationship you can have is a physical relationship. So they make even God the Father have a physical body. And so we've been looking at the different errors that that creates. Remember what we said, you can't just have hold to one false doctrine and not have it affect many things. And so the same with this. And we're still following the fallout from that one point. You know, many years ago they tried out an atomic bomb in the Southwest. And of course, when they tried that out, they had all these people, these onlookers, and they had them a certain distance away, but not far enough. And some of them were exposed to radiation. And so it's the same way, scripturally speaking, when you hold a false doctrine, many times you don't really realize the fallout from it until later on, just how many things it affects. And I believe from that same atomic bomb they tried out, there was white powder. Some of you probably remember from your reading of history, but some white powder on people's gardens in some other state, and it was the radiation fallout, and it affected those people of that city from that fallout. So same, only much more important with spiritual doctrine. So as I mentioned, that error number 19 that we've looked at here, for them to say that God the Father worked his way up to where he is, and now is classified with the gods, the beings who create. Well, that would mean that there's more than one God. If now he is classified with the beings, plural, that create, that means there are other gods and other gods that have created other things. And now he's just worked his way up amongst them. Let me give you a quote here. And this says, on February 8, 1857, Brigham Young explained how God came to be God and Father Jesus. The quote, "Now to the facts in the case, all the difference between Jesus Christ and any other man that ever lived on the earth from the days of Adam until now is simply this. The Father, after he had been in the flesh and lived as we live, obtained his exaltation, attained to thrones." Well, if he attained to a throne, that means God the Father hasn't always sat on the throne. If he attained to it, have you attained to the presidency of the company that you work for? Well, if you have to attain to it, that means you were not always it. If God has to attain to a throne, that means he wasn't always sitting on the throne. Obtained his exaltation, attained to thrones, gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers. We're going to talk about that one. And had the knowledge and power to create, to bring forth and organize the elements upon natural principles. To bring forth and organize the elements upon natural principles. Well, he brought forth this world he created out of nothing. He didn't bring it forth upon natural principles. He supernaturally created it and created natural order, principles. And he goes on and says, this he did after his ascension or his glory or his eternity and was actually classed with the gods. They're even putting it plural, with the beings who create, with those who have kept celestial law and so on. So, end quote for what they say. Let's see what the Bible says here. Isaiah 43, verse 10. So, this here also is where the Jehovah's Witnesses get their name. Isaiah 43, 10. Ye are my what? Witnesses, saith the who? Lord. Remember what is behind Lord, the Hebrew word behind Lord, when it's in those small capital letters like that? It's Jehovah. So, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Jehovah. So here is it where they get their name. Jehovah's Witnesses. Right here. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was what? No God formed. That right there will prove the Mormons wrong. He says, before me there was no God formed. God the Father didn't work his way up to ascendancy and be classed with the gods who have the power to create. The Bible says before him there was no God formed. Neither shall there be what? After me. So, you know, someone has a book out. I think they called it The God Maker, something like that. Maybe some of you have read it years ago. But anyway, Mormons, really the Mormon religion teaches that their people become gods, like Jesus, like the Father. It's a process of working your way up, starting a family here, and of course they say now they downplay polygamy, but that's still in the background here. Their idea is to have a large earthly family that will and be have that marriage sealed in the Mormon temple so that that will be their eternal family, and of course will continue to grow, just like God the Father. Remember the error we saw? God the Father had a personal relationship, they say, with Mary. And of course they say God the Father fathered all of those spirits in heaven and then eventually sends them down to a body. So it's just, they make it all God the Father's physical family here. And, of course, Jesus Christ working his way up the same way. And, of course, everybody eventually becoming a god. So that is false. That is blasphemous. We will never be gods. It says right here that before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no what? Savior. There's only one Savior. God. Three in one. Jehovah God. Jesus is Jehovah. It says there, I am the Lord. That's Jehovah. Beside me, there is no Savior. So these two verses will refute Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. So if you can't remember anything else, when the Mormon comes to your door, Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, and the same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. These both refute them. Now, where did Mormons ever get the idea that God was like us once? And that we can work our way up to becoming God. Where did they get that idea? Well, that idea is from Satan. Look in Genesis 3. That's what he told Eve. That was his lie to her. Hey, Eve, if you'll eat of this, I have a surprise for you. You're not going to die. You're going to become as gods. Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? God's knowing good and evil. Did Eve say, Satan, that's not right. Serpent, that's not right. We'll never be as gods. No, actually, at that, she didn't argue with him anymore. It just says, simply says in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she believed him. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that she believed him. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So the first marital trouble started right there when they sinned. So it's a doctrine of the devil that we can become as gods. And yet that is exactly what the Mormon religion teaches. That you can become as gods one day. You can have your own world. You can populate your own world. And be the savior of your own world. And yet, we just saw from Isaiah, beside him there is no savior. They've got God the Father, working his way up at one time. And then they've got Jesus Christ now working his way up. And all people working their way up one day. And yet the Bible says, beside him there is no savior. Notice with me in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. The fact of the matter is Satan was lying to Eve, saying, you can become as gods, because that was Satan's goal. That's been Satan's goal. He wants to become like God. He wanted to take God's throne, God's place. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. Ezekiel 28, 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am what? A God. I sit in what? The seat of God, in the midst of the seas. So what does God say to him? Yeah, that's right. Go for it. You can become as God. Just you can do it just like I did. Yeah, you can do it. That's the good old spirit. No, that's not what he said at all. He said in verse 2, he said, yet thou art a what? A man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. And then he goes on describing him. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the what? The pit. And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Notice verse 9. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am what? God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. So, setting their hearts as the heart of God. And he's going to say, what are you going to say to the person who's just about to finish you off with a sword? You can't do that. I'm God. No, not going to work. Verse 9, you're a man and not God. So this goes beyond this human king whose heart was lifted up over himself. And then in verse 12 it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in where? Eden, the garden of God. Well, we know Ezekiel lived just a little while after the flood. The garden of Eden has long been erased. We don't know where exactly it was. So they guess. They guess over in the Iraq area there, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. But one of those rivers was part of the rivers in, around the Garden of Eden. But it's totally been erased from the flood. But this one had been in Eden. So we know it wasn't the human king. It's going beyond the human king to the evil one behind him, and that is Satan. Verse 14, thou art the anointed, what? Cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You see, that's not true of any man since Adam and Eve. God created them perfect, but then they sinned. And Romans 5:12, all of us were born in sin. All of us. Psalm 51. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Notice verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the what? To the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Notice also in Isaiah 14, so Satan is a fallen cherub. Isaiah 14, we know from Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10 what cherubs are like. It's said to be a beautiful creature, but it's hard for us to imagine. It has four heads, and the cherub head is described as a calf. So it's interesting how Israel made their golden calves. And Satan has always wanted to be. When the children of Israel came to, in Exodus 32, when the children of Israel came to Aaron, what did he make them? A golden calf. And up, make us gods. The people said, up, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. So they forsake the true and the living God, and what do they make themselves? A calf. A calf, a golden calf, none other than the face of Satan. The cherub face. Compare Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10. Jeroboam made his golden calves. You know, people, when people forsake the true and the living God, they turn to Satan and worship him, and that's what Satan has always wanted. But Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to where? To hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, the Mormon religion is teaching man the same rebellion that Satan has had all along. I want to be God. And that is the bottom line of Mormonism. You can be gods. You can have your own world. You can have your own kingdom. It's none other than one of Satan's religions, Mormonism. Error number 20, still along the same line. By saying that God the Father, after he had been in the flesh, lived as we live, obtained his exaltation, attained the thrones, gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers, to say that Mormon doctrine thus places Satan above God the Father at one point. Think about it. If God the Father once was like us in the flesh, fighting these principalities and powers, as it says there, gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers. In other words, then, so once that would be he was below principalities and powers. If he had to gain the ascendancy over them, then he was once below them according to their doctrine. So, The Bible is clear that man is lower than the angels, and by them making God the Father flesh, man, they're putting him below Satan. Notice in Hebrews 2. The Bible is clear that no man in the flesh is more powerful than Satan. In fact, the Bible is clear that we, in our physical bodies, have limitations that the spirit realm does not. We are made lower than the angels. These bodies of flesh have limitations which angels do not have because they are spirit beings. Hebrews 2 and verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little," what? Lower than who? The angels. Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. So when we were made, God made man to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Yes, we are made higher than the animals and have dominion over them, but we are made lower than the angels. These physical bodies limit us, limitations that they do not have. So by saying that God the Father gained ascendancy over principalities and powers, was to say at one time he was below them, and that would be putting Satan more powerful than God the Father. So that's another error that leads to error number 21, still along the same line. Mormon doctrine. By saying that God the Father gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers, makes out that the devil then is not trying to take over God's throne, but is simply trying to take his throne back from God the Father, who took it from him. Think about it. They say, Mormon official doctrine says that God the Father gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers and built himself up to the classification of the gods who can create. Now, if he had to do that, that means that Satan was the first one to rule. If God the Father had to gain ascendancy over Satan, that means Satan had the throne first, and God gained the victory and got it from him. If that were true, Satan is not trying to usurp God's throne. He's just trying to kick God out of the throne that he once had. Do you see the huge difference? Satan is not doing wrong then. He's just trying to get his own throne back. Do you see how deadly this Mormon doctrine is? How deadly? It makes Satan out to be the good guy. Look at Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. If God the Father had to work his way up to where he is, if God the Father was once below principalities and powers, then the fact of the matter, it would be that God the Father took Satan's throne away from him, and Satan is just the victim trying to get it back. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil what? Good, and good what? Evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, it's kind of like how the liberals are trying to rewrite American history. They're trying to say, you stole those Indians' land. The fact of the matter is they didn't come here to steal the Indians' land. The fact of the matter is many people came here like missionaries to win them to Christ, like David Brainerd. Have you ever read about him? Oh, what a life he lived trying to win the Indian people to Christ. The Indian people had given themselves over to witchcraft and spiritism. You know, you see sometimes pictures of wolves. and how Indians and any heathen people worship powerful things, like the Egyptians worship the sun god Ra. Heathen people, lost people, worship powerful things. Indians worshiping wolves and all kinds of other things. Do you notice how vicious animals are coming back? How in Sand Lake, a bear was killed last year, the year before. And how just not too far from here, was it about a year ago, a lady said she saw a bear. I hope it wasn't her husband. She said she saw a bear anyway. And come on. Wake up. Are you sleeping? I think it's down 57 here. So I haven't seen one quite that close to home. But it's interesting how Romans 1, sodomy and worshiping creation more than the Creator go hand in hand. They're interlocked. And it's interesting how, okay, it's like man has decided to worship the animals, and it's like God is saying, okay, you want to worship them? Well, let's pretend it's India. Let's give all the food to the animals, and you can go hungry. You know, feed the cows, but don't eat them. You know, feed the mice, but don't eat them. And it's like America giving itself over to worshiping creation more than the Creator, and God's just allowing the vicious animals to increase. All these symptoms are pointing to the root cause. There's no fear of God in the land. That's the problem. So it's verse 20, calling evil good and good evil. You're out there on the street preaching the gospel. You are a nuisance. But this drunkard, he's a good old boy. You know, I'll arrest you. I'll let the drunkard go. I'll pull the drunkard over and let him go home and sober up. But you Christians, you're a menace to society. That's calling good evil. That's calling evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5:20. So, the Bible is clear that Satan never held the throne. Satan is a liar. John 8:44. Let's turn here. John 8:44. So in Mormon doctrine, the end of Mormon doctrine is that Satan is the good guy. God is really the one that took Satan's throne, and Satan's just trying to get his own throne back. Hey, can you fault him? It's just like, what has plunged Michigan in really America, one of the things, into debt? Do you realize, I don't know what year it was. It was sometime in the 80s, I believe. Michigan was way in debt. And so the people elected a governor. We got out of debt. But the governor was a Catholic. And the Indians were rising up and wanted gambling casinos. Well, if you're a good Catholic, it's pretty hard to be against gambling. Because Catholics love to have their bingo, their gambling. And so he allowed it. And gambling casinos arose up in Michigan. And guess what? We are way back into debt. And you know what? We were not at one time. And so instead of telling the Indian people and pointing them to Christ, it was like, oh yeah, you know, we've really done them wrong. We've got to make it up to them somehow. Let's let them start gambling casinos. Surely that will make their lives rich and fulfilling. Well, maybe rich, but not fulfilling. And it's corrupting. You know, it's like Solomon. When Solomon got away from the Word of God, God allowed many adversaries to rise up against us, against Israel. And it's the same way with us today. The Indians one day will be like the Arabs, or like the Japanese, or like many other foreign groups that God has allowed to rise up. I remember in the 80s, the Japanese were the head and we were the tail. And they owned the businesses. And I mean, it was like American automobile manufacturers were trying to scramble to make up. And the Japanese actually consulted their workers. And in America, it was like, You know, we don't need to know what you little workers think. You know, us college graduates, we know how to build cars, and you little blue-collar workers don't know anything. Well, the Japanese went at it different. The Japanese kind of formed teams and groups, and they listened to suggestions. And their cars became quality. In fact, someone just told me recently that Toyota has overcome GM. The GM giant, Toyota, sells more vehicles than GM. Well, that's what I was told. I don't have any statistics to prove that, but that's what I heard. And the big three are becoming the little three. Ford is having its trouble supporting sodomy and fighting sales. They're all, Chrysler, they're all having their woes and their problems. God allows adversaries to rise up and become the head, and we become the tail. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The wealth is going to be transferred from one to another, and they will become the head, we will become the tail. So, Isaiah 5:20 and John 8:44. I don't know if we ever read this, but John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a what? A liar and the father of it." So here we got Mormonism. Yes, God the Father has a body of flesh just like us. Yes, God the Father was once like us, and he gained the ascendancy over principalities and powers. He gained the ascendancy. He finally was classed with the gods that create. And you too can do the same thing. That is the Mormon premise right there. And that is nothing but John 8:44. That is a lie of the devil. It's Satan who's always wanting to gain the ascendancy over God. But in Mormon theology, Satan had the throne, and God the Father just took it away from him. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. God's always had the throne, and Satan will never get it. As we read, he will be cast into hell, to the lake of fire one day. Another one here, we'll just try to cover this one quickly. Error number 22. Mormon doctrine says that a person must be baptized to receive eternal salvation. Okay, let me read this for you here, off from their official website. They say baptism by immersion in water, by one having authority, is the first saving ordinance of the gospel and is necessary for an individual to become a member of the church and to receive eternal salvation. So, they say baptism is the first saving ordinance of the gospel and is necessary for to receive eternal salvation. Let's look in Luke 23. Luke 23. So, Mormonism becomes a religion of ladders. One step at a time. Pull yourself up. Do this, do that, and one day you will gain the ascendancy. One day you will be on the top, they say. Luke 23, verse 39. Luke 23:39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So what you'll find here is there's no mention of baptism. No mention of baptism in this passage at all. What we have is the thief acknowledging that you need the fear of God. Verse 40, "Dost not thou fear God?" Acknowledging that he's receiving just condemnation, we indeed justly, the due reward of our deeds. Acknowledging that Jesus is perfect, this man hath done nothing amiss. Acknowledging that Jesus is going to rule and reign. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And we find here Jesus giving him the word of assurance. Yes, I will. One day you'll be with me in paradise. And we're going to look at that, Lord willing, next time. Where is paradise? The Mormon boys told me, well, paradise is down there. You know, it's kind of like the good guys and the bad guys are just divided up, is all. Well, we'll look at that more next time, Lord willing. Where is paradise? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died in our place on the cross, gave his precious sinless blood, was buried and rose again victorious from the grave the third day, and is ready to save all who will repent, who will turn from their sin to him by faith. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we think of all of these young men, these Mormon young men, who give 2 years of their lives all in vain, hoping somehow to one day gain the ascendancy themselves, one day hoping to be gods. And yet, Father, our heart goes out to them because one day they'll find they were tricked. They were lied to by the master of lies, Satan, who is the one who has always wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds, the one who has always wanted the throne of God, and yet will one day be cast down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And Father, our heart goes out to these people who have been so deceived in the Mormon religion. Father, I pray you'd help us to reach them and others. Lord, we thank you for your word. Please help us, Lord, not to go with the present day flow of contemporary religion, who downplay doctrine, who don't even know, don't even have proof for what they say they believe. Lord, help us to be different. Help us to stand upon your word and actually know what it says, that we might prove these groups wrong. Have your way in our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.